Our Bible reading tonight comes to us from Luke chapter 2, and I'm going to be reading the verses 8 to 20, and hopefully we'll have the words up on the screen. And there they are. So starting Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 8. "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." Amen. My friends, this Bible passage, which we have just read, contains that incredibly popular and well-known narrative of the angels and the shepherds. And I think the reason why it is so popular and so well known is twofold. First of all, this is clearly a beautiful story which captures our imagination. I mean, which of us do not love to ponder this bunch of rough guys sitting around their campfire one night, suddenly confronted by heavenly messengers, rushing off to find a tiny baby, and then excitedly telling everybody who would listen? There's something just so delightful in the story itself. But the second reason I think it's so popular and so well known is because this passage, perhaps more than any other, reveals to us the true significance of the birth of Jesus and the profound response that it should provoke within each and every one of us. These verses truly bring home to our hearts what Christmas is all about. And so for these reasons, this part of the story has also become very prominent in our Christmas carols. I mean, it features in just about every one of them. It's there in "Angels from the Realms of Glory," "Go Tell It on the Mountain," "Hark, the Herald Angels Sing," "Mary's Boy Child," "O Come All Ye Faithful," "O Holy Night," "Silent Night," "The First Noel," and as we've just sung, "What Child Is This?" The well-loved classic that we'll sing a bit later, "Glory to God," is in fact entirely based on what the angels say in Luke 2 verse 14. "And while shepherds watch their flocks by night," retells verses 8 to 14 almost word for word. And then there is also the carol which we're focusing on today, "Angels We Have Heard on High." This is yet another familiar Christmas tune which is grounded in the story of the angels and the shepherds. And we're going to use it to help us to delve into this narrative tonight. Now, unlike some others, we actually don't know very much about the history of this song. We know that it originated in France in the 1700s and that it was first translated into English in the 1800s. But apart from that, that's all we really know. However, as we look at the words of this song, the first thing that becomes apparent to us is that it is very poetic and very picturesque. And as a result, this carol helps us to think about the events of Christmas in a slightly different and more meaningful way. Let me read the first verse for you. Angels we have heard on high, singing sweetly through the night, and the mountains in reply echoing their brave delight. This first verse just very simply turns our minds to the angels, about the appearance of the angels over those fields near Bethlehem. Luke 2 verse 9 says, an angel of the Lord appeared to them. Verse 13 tells us, suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel praising God. This song doesn't yet mention the shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. It doesn't yet mention the actual birth of Jesus, nor does it yet mention the message about his birth that the angels proclaimed. It simply focuses our attention on those awesome heralds from God. Angels we have heard on high. It reminds us that they came to pronounce God's message, singing sweetly through the night. And it adds an element of the whole of creation rejoicing, and the mountains in reply, echoing their brave delight. This part about the mountains is not found in Luke's gospel, but it certainly reflects the message of Psalm 98. In Psalm 98, it says, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. And then a few verses later, it says, let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together with joy. Let them sing before the Lord. How true it is that when the angels brought their marvelous message, that even the mountains sang with joy. But isn't it interesting how, even though they're not actually mentioned in this first verse, that the first verse is written from the shepherds... Isn't it interesting how, even though they're not actually mentioned, this first verse is written from the perspective of the shepherds? It says, angels we have heard on high. And who's the we? Who were those who were so privileged to hear the angel's song? It was a bunch of lowly sheep herders. Shepherds in general had a bad reputation in those days, and as a result, they were widely despised. They were unclean, as their occupation prevented them from keeping the ceremonial law. They were often known to be thieves, stealing from others just to get by. They were considered to be unreliable, prevented by the Talmud from even giving testimony in court. But yet it was these obvious sinners whom God ironically chose to be his very first witnesses to his astounding heavenly message. It was they who were given this enormous honour of hearing the angel's song. And what was their song? Well, that takes us then into the chorus of the carol, Gloria in Excelsis Deo. It seems that in the original French version, for some reason, these words of the chorus were already written in Latin instead of French. And then when it was translated into English, the Latin rendition was retained. And that's okay, so long as we know what it is that we're singing. It's not too hard to see that Gloria is, of course, glory. And Excelsis is most excellent, of the highest level. And Deo, like deity, is, of course, the Lord our God. And so this chorus literally means glory to God in the highest. A direct quote from Luke 2 verse 14. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angels, with the angel praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven. While we don't yet know the angel's message, what we do know is that it evokes this chorus of praise, an exclamation of glory to God above. Now, while the first verse of this carol is written from the perspective of the shepherds, the second verse is written quite unusually from our own perspective. For we ourselves now find ourselves questioning them about their response to the appearance of the heavenly host. Shepherds, why this jubilee? Why these songs of happy cheer? What great brightness did you see? What glad tidings did you hear? Luke chapter 2 says that when the angel of the Lord appeared, that the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. And who could blame them? They thought they were settling in for a quiet night, but now they're experiencing something dramatic. The very glory of the Lord right there in that lonely field. But the angel tells them, do not be afraid. He came not to harm or to judge. He came to bring them glad tidings. He said, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Then when the angels departed, we're told that the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. And after that, we're told, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they'd been told, what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. And in the end, it says, the shepherds returned, glorifying God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Can't you just sense the joy and the happiness, the amazement and the praise just building and multiplying? And so the author of our carol draws us into this scene with these pertinent questions. Why this jubilee, this happy cheer? Oh, shepherds, what did you see? What did you hear? I just love the way this carol develops the tension in such an engaging way. Angels appearing with an awesome message, evoking a song of glory to God. Shepherds responding and rejoicing over what they have seen and heard, joining in that thrilling chorus. But it still leaves us hanging, doesn't it? What is this glorious news? Well, the third and final verse reveals it, as the heart of Luke chapter 2 is exposed. For Luke, after telling of the angel of the Lord coming to bring this good news of great joy for all people, then explains exactly what this good news is. Luke chapter 2 verse 11. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. My friends, it's all about the birth of Jesus. He is the reason for this season. He is the one whom God's people had anticipated for such a very long time. And his arrival goes to the very heart of our human dilemma. For right at the dawn of creation, all of humanity fell into sin and despair. Our first parents turned against the Lord who had made them, disobeyed his only command, earned his judgment and his wrath. Creation was cursed, and we found ourselves cut off from the source of life and of all things good. And so the creation was broken by human sin, and we still see the results of that all around us today. Broken people with broken bodies and broken hearts, broken marriages and families, broken relationships between people and even between nations, broken morality and ethics, a broken environment, a broken world. And the more we try to fix it and so optimistically proclaim that we're making such great progress, the worse it actually gets. For drug addiction and depression are growing, and poverty and homelessness, abuse and slavery, crime and looting, pollution and degradation, warfare and terrorism, and so on and so on and so on. We're living in a world that increasingly has no time for God, and as a result, we are hurtling down that highway to hell as though it doesn't even matter. And so we desperately need someone who can deliver us from all of this. And that someone, my friends, is Jesus. For he was born, so the angel says, to be our Saviour, the one who can redeem us from sin by his perfect righteous life and his atoning sacrificial death. He is the one who can take all of our guilt and all of our failure upon himself, bearing the punishment we deserve and making us holy before our God. And he was born, the angel says, to be our Messiah, our Christ. He is the one whom God had been promising right from the beginning, the one who would come to achieve all of this. Our gracious and our loving Creator, he intended from day one that he would rescue us from our sin and our shame and from death and from judgment. And so he pledged that one day he would send one who was like us, but yet without sin, his own beloved Son. And the angel also says that he was born to be our Lord, our ultimate leader, our perfect king. For he is none other than the divine Son of God, born into our world, born in the town of David, born in David's royal line. And he came to lead us out of our condemned state, to lead us into life on this earth as it was always meant to be, to lead us back to our God, the God who we had rejected, and to lead us all the way into the glory of eternal life. So is it any wonder that the angel of the Lord said that this would be good news of great joy for all the people? Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord. But how could these shepherds know the truth of this audacious claim? I mean, this is the most amazing news in all of history. The God who created us and the universe, providing the way to be reconciled with him, the way out of judgment and into blessing, the way out of misery and into hope, the way out of death and into life, the way out of hell and into heaven. Is it all a hoax or is it true? Well, Luke 2 verse 12, the angel said, "This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And so they went to see if it was true. And in verse 16, we're told, "So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger." And so they knew that God had come through. He had fulfilled his promise. The Saviour, the Messiah, the Lord was born. But in the most wonderful way, our Christmas carol turns this all around, doesn't it? And it points this life-changing truth directly toward ourselves. For while the first verse with the shepherds telling of the angels they had heard on high, and the second verse was us asking those shepherds, why this joyful jubilee? But now the carol speaks to us. Come, it says, come to Bethlehem and see him whose birth the angels sing. Come, adore on bended knee Christ the Lord, the newborn King. And thus we're challenged to ponder, have we heard the invitation? My friend, have you heard this vital, life-changing invitation? Have you come to Bethlehem and seen the one of whom those angels sing? Have you truly understand who this baby is born so long ago? Have you come to see that he is the very one you've been looking for? The one who can lift you out of your sin and shame, out of your fear and futility. He's the one who can help you in the struggles of life. He's the one who can give you hope for the future and eternity with the Lord. And if you've seen him, then the question is, have you also responded? Have you come to adore him on bended knee? Christ the Lord, the newborn King. Have you put your faith in Jesus as your rescuer, your redeemer, your saviour? Have you come to him in surrender, knowing you cannot do it yourself? Have you come to him in repentance, admitting all the ways that we get it wrong? Have you come to him in thankfulness and in love? Have you come to him in humble adoration, worshipping his holy name? For if you have, my friends, if you have, then you too can join in this brilliant chorus. After the first verse, we hear the angels sing it. After the second verse, we hear the shepherds joining in. And now after the third verse, we ourselves join in their magnificent song. Gloria in excelsis Deo, glory to God in the highest heaven. And why? Because on earth he has given peace to those on whom his favour rests. My friend, will you stop trusting in yourself, in your own power and your own goodness? Will you instead put your trust in that little helpless baby born so long ago, that little baby who grew to be the man Jesus, who gave his own life on the cross for our salvation? Will you put your trust in Christ and in him alone? For when you do, you will experience God's favour in your life. You'll know him as your heavenly Father. You'll know his love and his guidance and his protection every single day, in both the good times and in the hard times. And you'll know his promise that in the end of it all, you do not need to fear, because he will welcome you into his arms when you arrive at your heavenly home. And friends, this, and only this, will give you the peace that you desire. What a beautiful Christmas carol this is. It reminds us of the wonderful message of Luke chapter 2. It reminds us of the rejoicing of those angels and the rejoicing of those shepherds. But it also urges us to make that rejoicing our very own. For it's all about that good news of great joy that is for all the people. The message of God's gospel and his grace. For today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord. And could there ever be better news than that? And so I plead with you today, do come to Bethlehem and see him whose birth the angels sing. Come, adore on bended knee Christ the Lord, the newborn King. Come and sing with all of his people, glory to God in the highest, for the wonder of his love. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we praise your holy name, for you did not leave us in our sin and misery, but rather you promised right from the start that you were going to send a solution for our deepest problem, to rescue us from our guilt and our condemnation. And in those fields near Bethlehem, to sinners just like us, you announced your promise fulfilled. You sent your glorious heavenly messengers to proclaim the best news that there could ever be, that the Saviour had been born. And Lord, we want to pray tonight that like those angels and those shepherds, that you would fill our hearts with gladness. Lord, if we're only just coming to understand this good news, then please open our eyes to see and to receive your salvation, your favour, and your peace. And Father, if we've known these things already for many years, then we pray tonight, please help us to understand them even more. Lord, please deepen our faith. Please increase our amazement. Please grow our love. And please intensify our worship. May we too go on our way, glorifying and praising you for all the things that we have heard and seen, which are just as we have been told. Lord God, please hear our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen.